Pop Spotting 164.
Thursday, November 17th, 2011.
Happy anniversary, Pumpkin.
Happy anniversary, Honey Bunny.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday, that glorious day every week when one of our wonderful listeners joins us to tell us about things we need to check out.
And then what's the thanks? You get a trivia challenge, that's what.
Joining us today is Heath Solo, a.k.a. Heath Actor on Twitter.
Heath was the host of the Lost Revisited Now podcast, but is now the mastermind behind the Film List podcast, dedicated to movies and television and driven by top 10, top 5 countdowns.
He's also part of the Podtourage podcast, which brings four friends together to discuss four topics, including TV and movies, sports, relationships, and whatever else.
Heath is a graduate of Syracuse University and a professional actor living in Burbank, California. He lists Steve McQueen as his personal idol, lists the Dallas Cowboys, Boston Celtics, Bruins, and LA Angels as his favorite teams. Heath, welcome finally to Pop Spotting.
Ryan and Jen, it's an honor. And what an introduction. I haven't heard an introduction like that since my high school pep rally. All right.
That's what we aspire to here on Pop Spotting, Heath. So how are things in Burbank?
Oh, they're good. We got a little cold weather lately, but no, it's great. I just booked a film. It's called Down and Dangerous.
Ooh,
I shoot in December. So that's some good news on the acting front. And with the Film List podcast, we've been doing a series of Star Wars roundtables, so that's been a lot of fun.
I love that. I love that you're just this podcasting powerhouse, and so it is our honor to have you on the show. Here on Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday, we ask our guests, and the particularly smart ones like you especially, to enlighten us on three things that they think are worth checking out. So let's not waste any time, Heath. What is your first recommendation?
My first recommendation, ever since I got hooked up with Netflix instant streaming, and I've been really getting into documentaries. My good friend Axel Foley, as you know, of Podtourage, also is a big documentary guy, and I had him on doing his top 10 documentaries, so he's been giving me suggestions, but I've been going crazy. But the one that I have to mention, I have to recommend, that I'm addicted to, is Cameron Crowe's latest documentary, Pearl Jam 20. Ooh. Now, Pearl Jam, growing up in the 80s, there were metal bands. I listened to my dad's Beatles. I liked the Monkees, whatever. But Pearl Jam was like that first band that I grew up with, that started out while I was alive, and I listened to them right away. And they're my all-time favorite band. Eddie Vedder, Stone Gossard, Jeff Emmett, all the Mike McCready. I love that band. And Cameron Crowe did a movie called Singles, which he had Pearl Jam in. It was about the grunge scene in Seattle and relationships. But he just did a documentary about them over 20 years, and it has home videos, concert footage. He interviews them now, and it's amazing. And for those of you who know Pearl Jam, Stone Gossard and Jeff Emmett were original members of Mother Love Bone, which released one CD, and then the lead singer died, and Pearl Jam was thus formed months later. They do a cover of Crown of Thorns, Eddie Vedder singing, of course, and I've probably listened to that song 150 times this weekend. It's just amazing. But if you love documentaries, you love Pearl Jam. If you don't love Pearl Jam, you got to check it out.
So besides interviews with the band, are there any other are there interviews with any other musical figures?
Yes, and I can't remember right now who they are, but yes, it's people that have crossed paths with them through the years. It's interesting because I didn't realize how many people respected Pearl Jam, but the fans too. They are so humble, and I don't think a lot of people realize how humble they are, and they're just I think it's Stone Gossard. He has an Emmy, and he's looking for it, and it's in a corner in his basement with cobwebs. Like, oh yeah, we won an award. Like, they don't care about that. And then it goes into their battle with Ticketmaster and that whole fiasco. But yeah, they interview other people. But it was great to see them now, because they're still the same. They're older, but they're just normal human beings, and I just love them so much.
If you're interested in not just the documentary side, the music side, is there enough music in this documentary to sit back and enjoy as well?
Oh, Ryan, let me tell you. Yes, and they came out with a CD called Pearl Jam 20. It's all the live songs they used in the documentary, or at least most of them. And that's where you can get the Crown of Thorns cover, technically cover. It's half Mother Love Bone and half Pearl Jam. But I'm telling you, listen to that song. I even posted it up on my Facebook, the live version of it. I'm just so addicted to it right now. It's crazy.
Sounds great. I can't wait to see it. What is your next recommendation?
All right. It's my new favorite show of the season. It's on NBC. It's got one of my favorite actresses, Maria Bello, and it's Prime Suspect, executive produced by Peter Berg. And I was a big fan of the British series with Helen Mirren. It's different, but yet this Americanized. But I'm a big procedural fan. I don't watch reality shows, but I loved the Law and Orders, and I loved last year Detroit 187. But the great thing about Prime Suspect is Maria Bello. I think she's going to definitely get an Emmy nomination hopefully the series will last. But the group, they got Kirk Acevedo was on Fringe and Oz, Bryn O'Byrne, who a lot of people know, Flash Forward, the short-lived podcast.
Right, yeah. TV show.
And TV show. And it's just, it's so real. And it's one of those series that you're like, how can a procedural be different? It's just, I mean, they're chasing after a suspect in like a Walmart, and they're out of breath. They lose direction. You never see that in procedurals ever.
Right, right.
So I just love the realism of it, and Maria Bello really holds it together. And her take on, well, she's Jane Tennyson was Helen Mirren's character. She's Jane Toomey or something in this. They changed the last name, but her take on the character is remarkable.
Yeah, we really love the American version of Prime Suspect. How would it compare with the version starring Helen Mirren?
Well, it's got the same dynamic with her being a female and coming in and heading a homicide investigation. They are playing with that, and they do have the same kind of that one cop who she's going at it with, but they're definitely using it, but they're not going to beat it to death. It was a great setup in, I don't want to spoil the British version, but it lasted for like 7 or 8 series. But wow. as you know, British terms, that's like 3 to 6 hours.
Right.
So it's probably like 3 or 4 seasons of our television. But the character dynamic is really the same, because Helen Mirren wasn't married. She was a drinker. She had her own personal issues, and they're playing on that as well. But more, I'm not going to, because that series started early 90s, went into the early 2000s. So it's got a take, but you can definitely tell that Maria Bello's character of Jane is very like tomboy. Well, the big setup is she supposedly slept her way to her latest title, and she's getting a lot of flack for that, but it wasn't really like that. But that's kind of the whole, you know, they're giving her a lot of crap. You know, a female character being in a man's world, which is the NYPD. I love shows with strong female characters. That's very important to me. When I watch TV, I have to love the characters, and the female characters have to be strong, or else I'm going to be like, oh, come on. So it definitely does it here, in my opinion.
I absolutely love Prime Suspect. I think Maria Bello is incredible. I like that she's not just a strong female character. I mean, I feel like we have to start putting that in quotes or put a trademark after it at this point. But I like that she's also flawed. I like that she couldn't keep up and she got beat up in the pilot. And
yep.
And yes, the realism, the awkwardness of some police investigations that don't go well, I think that's great. And I'm happy to hear that it doesn't sound like we're missing too much from the original series, but they've taken the best part of it and given us an American twist. Are there any characters on the male side of the ensemble, the rest of this police station, basically, that stand out to you?
Yes. There is, actually. Tim Griffin, the actor, he plays Detective Augie Blando. He really, he's a goof. He just, I mean, he's a good cop, but he's kind of, you know, he's like chewing on food and then's like, I got to go to the bathroom. And he's just disgusting, but he's like the comic relief. And he's just, he's great. And I think he's I think he was one of those actors you bring on the show, oh, he'll be good, and then you realize he's stealing scenes. So, yeah, Tim Griffin is one of my favorite new characters on TV.
Well, I think all of that entire cast is outstanding. It's definitely one of our favorite shows of this season as well.
What is your third recommendation?
Well, I'm going old school here.
Please.
Again, on the film list, we decided to do a big roundtable of Star Wars podcasts. And so the Star Wars collection on Blu-ray looks magical. It's interesting watching it from episode one, Phantom Menace, versus A New Hope, episode four. And I plowed through them and just watching them all together. It really brought me back to my childhood. And I know people complain about George Lucas and he adds this and he changes this, but you know what? I'm very easygoing when it comes to that. And I'm like, he's the creator. If he wants to add things and whatnot, it's fine with me. And I really enjoyed going back and watching these films. I hadn't seen A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi in probably close to 12, 13 years. So it was a treat to go back and see it, and especially on Blu-ray. It looks fantastic. And it's funny, when I was a kid, I was a big Luke Skywalker fan, and I wanted to be Luke Skywalker. As I've grown older, and Han Solo, of course, is my favorite. And there's a lot of similarities to our old friend Sawyer, Josh Holloway from Lost, the whole Han Solo character and the Sawyer character, and it is very evident here. And it's Harrison Ford, you could see, reaching his prime as an actor, really getting a platform to showcase what he can do, and it just, of course, started his career. So yeah, watching the old Star Wars films, I really enjoy it, and on Blu-ray it looks fantastic.
So now that you've watched them all back to back, which one is your favorite?
I'm still a New Hope fan because what it did for me, that is my favorite. I do love Empire, and I like Jedi a lot more now. I mean, I loved it as a kid because that was the first Star Wars film I saw in the theater.
Right.
But I know people hate the Ewoks, and our good friend Hurley says Ewoks suck, dude, but I don't know. I kind of dig them.
I like the Ewoks.
Yeah, the little teddy bears. I understand if you watch it now. But yeah, New Hope probably, even though I think Empire is a better film, but New Hope is, Star Wars has to be my favorite because it was the first and it was, I've seen that the most.
I like the generational appeal. I mean, our youngest son was a clone trooper this year. I mean, it's still popular. And I guess this might be one reason why we might make the step up to have a Blu-ray. I just don't really get that excited about crisper, cleaner picture and better sound. But I have to ask you, I don't want to be controversial, but you really don't have a problem with Greedo shooting first. You don't have a problem with the once silent torture of Darth Vader throwing his emperor father to his death, now being accompanied by a large groan. That doesn't bother you at all?
No. It is kind of, again, because it's been, I took a break from Star Wars as a kid. I loved it. Took a huge break. I saw New Hope in the theater when they re-released it in the 90s, but I'm just starting to get my Star Wars geek on again. So I guess, yeah, the whole, those little changes I've kind of forgot about, but yes, the no, that's just, that does get me. It's kind of like the Walt, sorry to lost reference
yes,
here.
Yes, I hear you.
But you know, yeah, that is a problem for me, but I kind of like, I'm enjoying it.
Heath's recommendations are Cameron Crowe's documentary Pearl Jam 20, Prime Suspect on NBC with Maria Bello, and the Star Wars collection new on Blu-ray.
All right, great picks, Heath, but now that you've had your fun, I think it's time for Jen to have her revenge of the Jen. Are you ready for some trivia?
I should say yes. I may say no, but yes, I'm ready.
All right, Heath. Well, it's actually not that bad here on Top Spotting Trivia. We let you pick your categories. You get 2 out of 3, and then you just have to answer 2 out of 3 questions in each of those categories. Jen, what are Heath's categories?
Heath can choose from turkey, turkey, and turkey.
Fantastic. A wide variety of options there for Heath. You've got that first category, turkey, if you're a fan of that sort of thing. Of course, if you're into a slightly different take, you can pick turkey. And finally, if you're just not sure, Heath, you can pick turkey. Which 2 categories there are you interested in?
Well, I'm thinking the white meat turkey, and then the dark meat turkey. So turkeys 2 and 3.
That's exactly what it sounded like. I kind of had that sense there, Heath. All right, Jen, let's start with category number 1, turkey.
Let's talk turkey. In the annals of movie history, a heavily hyped production that falls flat at the box office is called A Turkey. Question 1. 4 years in the making, Cleopatra went through 7 writers and 2 directors and cost twice what it made at the box office. What Hollywood power couple met on the set of this 1963 disaster, going on to marry and divorce twice?
I'm going to say Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
Yes.
Fantastic. Great. Very good, Heath. You know your turkey. So.
Oh, jeez.
Let's do number 2.
What famous flop is set on Earth after it's destroyed by a race of aliens called Cyclos?
Battlefield Earth?
Yes.
Very good, Heath. I like it. All right.
And number 3. In 2002, Roberto Benigni directed a live-action adaptation of which animated Disney classic?
That would be Pinocchio.
Yes.
Very good, Heath. You swept the turkey category. Yes, Pinocchio, with a 0% Rotten Tomatoes rating. It got 6 Razzie nominations. So you do know your turkey, but now let's see if you know your turkey.
Next week, America will wax nostalgic about its history and take the time to express gratitude for its many blessings. Much of these traditions surround a large bird. Question 1. What is the name of the chemical component in turkey that is said to bring on a case of food coma?
Tryptophan.
Yes,
very good, Heath. It is, of course, one of the 20 standard amino acids. It's actually found in higher concentrations in foods like eggs and seeds and cheeses and pork chops, and unfortunately there is no actual link. It's just eating like a pig that makes you sleepy. But very good. That's question 1. Number 2.
Have you heard of the Fighting Gobblers? That's the unofficial nickname of the athletes from this NCAA's Division I school. There's only a tangential connection to the turkey, although their official mascot is a bird. What school is it?
Ooh, Fighting Gobblers. Ooh, that's a tough one. Oh, boy. I guess I'll guess. I'm just going to say Indiana State, but I know that's not right.
No, it's Virginia Tech, home of the Hokie Bird.
Oh, I knew they were Hokies. I just didn't know they were. I'm thinking Fighting Gobblers. Like,
right.
I just went to Vegas with my high school buddies. One is a graduate of Virginia Tech, and so I should have known.
Well, yes, it is. Their official mascot is a bird, but any old-timer will tell you that they're the Fighting Gobblers. That's okay, though. You still can take this category with question 3.
And number 3, the National Turkey Foundation has given the U.S. president a turkey since 1947. John F. Kennedy said he wasn't going to eat his turkey in 1963. President Ronald Reagan joked about giving his turkey a pardon in 1987. But the first official pardon, now an annual White House tradition, took place in 1989 at the hands of whom?
Well, I guess it's George W. Bush, correct?
No.
Oh.
George H.W. Bush.
Oh, is it? Oh, yes. Oh, the H.
Hold on, Heath. When you said George Bush, regardless of the middle initials, were you intending to say the second one or the first one?
No, the first one, because he was in, because what was it, 88, 89? That's
yeah,
when he was president.
Yeah, that counts.
So.
I think we're going to give that to you. Heath. Right. No worries, no worries. So, wow, you know your turkeys, and you know your turkeys. That means, Heath, that you have won Pop Talk Trivia. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Heath.
Wow, I was nervous. I mean, and that Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton one, that was, wow. That
did well.
Amazing. You guys got minds.
Hey,
I'll tell you.
It's somebody who needs to know movies. I think that was the best category. I'm glad you didn't pick that number 1.
What was the first category?
You're going to have to tune in on Thanksgiving to hear the leftover turkey question.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
All right, Heath. Well, it has been a fantastic pleasure having you on the show. But of course, before we let you go, could you remind everybody where on the vast internet they can find your many talents?
Well, yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Heath Actor, and my actor name is Heath Sentazo. podcaster name is Solo, so I don't confuse both timelines. But you can always check me on IMDb for my latest projects that I'm doing. Again, my new project will be Down and Dangerous, directed by Zach Forsman from Savvy Pictures. And also, for my podcast, The Film List and Podtourage, you can simply go to iTunes and type it in there, or go to talkshoe.com/TC/48222
which, love those catchy addresses there.
Yeah, you know. So I used to do a blog, heathsworld.wordpress.com. It's been about a year, so I eventually will come up with some website.
No, that works. You're not hard to find. And of course, we are always really excited when we have someone who has an IMDb entry on our show.
Ooh. Yeah, I think you might be the only person that we know that has an IMDb.
No, Axel does too.
Oh, that's right. He does.
All right, Heath. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on Pop Spotting.
Thank you so much, Ryan and Jen. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great day. Aloha.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, if you'd like to come on the show or just want to share your thoughts on pop culture or on our podcast, we hope you'll get in touch.
Your feedback keeps us going. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net or leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
We got a great bunch of contributors on our Facebook page, and we hope you can join us there as well at facebook.com/popspotting.
You can tweet at us at Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, or you can look us up on Google+.
We'll be back tomorrow with another great serving of Pop Spotting feedback.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thanks to you guys for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Sayonara.
Ja mata. He does it.
Hi.
Hi.